seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, you know I'm happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. We have plenty of local and national sports to get into. Big day as far as high school is concerned. The spring sports season's got a little over a week left in it. That's it. Then we'll head into summer. We have softball, baseball going on right now. Some bad news on the softball field earlier today. Both the Carbon Lady Dinos and the Emory Lady Spartans suffered losses. That kicks them down to the one-loss bracket. The good news is that the Lady Dinos, last scoreboard update I received, playing well, going toe-to-toe with Providence Hall, up-handedly in that game, so they should be on tap to play again later on tonight. We'll bring you scoreboard updates on those games as soon as they become available. But today we are going to talk high school soccer here on Drive Time Sports. Cinderella stories are so much fun. They're even better when there's one in your own backyard, and that's exactly what the Emory High School soccer team has become. They enter the state tournament, the number 13 seed in the state. They knock off number 4 Grand 1-0. Last night, they take on number 12 Richfield, and they beat them 1-0. So now Emory has a chance at the number 1 team of the state in the semifinals on Monday. What a tremendous season. This is so much fun. Congratulations to that Spartan soccer team. But the journey's not finished yet. They got 2 more games to win to claim a state championship. We're going to talk about that today. Coach Troy Winter will join us next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We'll also give you the update on day one of the 3A state championship golf tournament for girls. That's going on right now. Emory did advance into the second and final day. The Lady Spartans made the cut for day two. And we also have the Region 12 championship going on right now, day two of that event, which features Carbon and Emory. See, there's so much happening. And we still have tennis as well. The Carbon Dino tennis squad just wrapped up the regular season yesterday. So around every corner, there's something high school sports-wise happening. A very busy time. Different than winter sports. You know, we only have a handful of winter sports. We have swimming, we have basketball, we have wrestling, that's it. And those are real stretched-out seasons. Spring sports, we have a lot going on, and it's so condensed. In fact, also on the JUCO field, the USU Eastern men's baseball team in action today in the opening round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament. So, again, a lot to get into on the local end. We'll talk more on that in just a bit. Let's look at the national sports scene. Today we will talk NBA basketball. Last night, the Utah Jazz suffering their second straight loss, falling to the Portland Trail Blazers. No shame in this right now. Utah without 2 of their 3 All-Stars, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, neither played last night. Portland playing good basketball. The Blazers, it's their road record. For as difficult as it is to win at the Moda Center, it's a team that's 22-13 on the road. That's why they're going to make the playoffs. That's why they're going to avoid the play-in round. Their win last night moves them to the 5 seed. That knocks Dallas down to the 6. Both teams a game up on the Lakers to avoid the play-in round. So we'll talk more NBA basketball. We'll focus on the Jazz. Should you be concerned if you're a Jazz fan? News came out yesterday that Donovan Mitchell is out for the remainder of the regular season. I don't care about that. I'll tell you what I do care about, though. The fact that the Jazz may be going up against the Lakers or the Warriors in the opening round, and Donovan's not back to get reacclimated with his team, that maybe is a tad bit worrisome. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. Also on the show today, I want to talk about the NFL. The schedule came out yesterday. We now know the schedule. 17 regular season games. That's going to be tough to wrap my head around, especially when we do the over-unders on the wins like we always do. We're looking at 17 games now instead of 16. That changes things up just a bit on the over-under front. We know it's the Cowboys, the Buccaneers to get us rolling. That'll be the first Thursday night game of the season. And, of course, we'll have Thursday night football for you here on KOAL. We know the first Sunday night game is also the Rams and the Bears at SoFi Stadium. It'll be the first time that fans have been allowed in that new gym in SoCal. And the first Monday night game will be here on KOAL as well, as we'll go to Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. The Raiders will get to play in front of fans for the very first time in their new gem of a stadium as well against the Baltimore Ravens. So those were the big games that were released yesterday. The first game at SoFi Stadium, Sunday Night Football. First game at Allegiant Stadium, Monday Night Football. First game of the season at Raymond James Stadium against the defending Super Bowl champs and America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll look at the schedule a little bit later on as well. Let's look at the day baseball schedule and scores. All kinds of day games going on. We have many finals already today, and that's where we will begin. Final score earlier today, Toronto topping the Atlanta Braves 8-4. We get the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Nationals going at it. Patrick Corbin gets a rare win so far this season. Washington tops the Phillies 5-1. We get Detroit 4-3 over Kansas City. The Cardinals 2, Milwaukee 0. Jack Flaherty pitches a gem. Alex Reyes gets the save for the Cardinals. After the White Sox, who have just played that Pettis small ball under coach Tony La Russa, picks up a 4-2 win over Minnesota. All kinds of baseball games still to go. Three between the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. We get San Francisco at Pittsburgh. First pitch is going to be thrown in about 20 minutes. We get New York at Tampa Bay and Oakland at Boston. All of those games between the 4 and 5 o'clock hours. 6 o'clock, Texas at Houston. The Rockies play host to the Reds. 7 o'clock, it's Miami at Arizona. End of the nightcap, it's Cleveland at Seattle. Baseball's reaching that, I don't want to call it a key point, but we're hovering around the 40-game mark, and so we're about a quarter of the way through the season. And if you haven't paid attention, the best record in Major League Baseball right now belongs to the Oakland A's and the St. Louis Cardinals. Those two are tied up at 23-15. That's where we're sitting at record-wise in Major League Baseball. As far as the NBA goes, an off night for the Utah Jazz. They will return to the basketball court tomorrow as they take on Oklahoma City. Only two games remaining on the schedule for the Jazz. They'll close things up on Sunday against the Sacramento Kings. Full slate of games, any that matter. Phoenix, they'll take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. That game is on national TV, 8 p.m. The Suns trying to keep pace with the Jazz. The Blazers trying to avoid the play-in round, so that's a big game at 8 o'clock tonight. We get Denver and Minnesota, Sacramento at Memphis. The Bulls play host to the Raptors. We get the Spurs and the Knicks as well. That's a fun game. San Antonio hasn't clinched a spot in the play-in round just yet. They're close, but they haven't done it yet. In the meantime, New York, one of the more interesting teams in the Eastern Conference. We get Philly at Miami. Atlanta will play host to Orlando, Milwaukee, and Indiana. So again, a full slate of NBA games. But the Jazz, they get the night off. They'll return tomorrow. More NBA basketball talk coming up here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. And we will continue to update you on the high school scores as they come in. It's a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
The upset wins, they just continue to pile up for the Emory Spartan soccer team. Another victory last night, that means the season extends into the final 2 days. Emory in the Final Four, going to the semifinals on Monday. Joining us right now to talk about yesterday's 1-0 win over the Richfield Wildcats, we have head coach Troy Winter. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. It's awesome to be on today.
Yeah, Coach, it's awesome to be talking about wins, two upset wins. I mean, you guys go into the tournament as the number 13 seed, and you get two region opponents, and you guys find ways to beat both of them 1-0. Very similar, too. First half goal, shut them out in the second half. That's the way both games have gone.
Absolutely. The Richfield game was kind of unique in the wind. We tried to have the wind at our back first half, and then second half, we had the wind, the opposite on that. We had the wind with us the first half and the wind at our back the second half, and tried to pile up some goals to maybe take the wind out of them. But so it paid off with one goal. But yeah, it was definitely an upset. They was going in a little bit stronger seed than us. So
yeah, and it's crazy the way this has worked. And the old saying is that's why you play the game, or you got to play the game, right? I mean, that's a perfect. This is a perfect example of yes, you have to play the games. This is a 13 seed, coach, and you had said last week that you guys would be going into this Richfield game very confident. So once you find the back of the net for the first time in this contest, again, did you notice a confidence boost, or was the team pretty even keel throughout this game?
You know, I actually noticed a little bit of a confidence boost. We actually, I was very impressed. We shot more yesterday than we tend to shoot throughout the season. We found a little bit of an offensive mojo, as you would call it. But man, we could just not find the back of the net. The keeper done a really good job, and some of our shots were not on target, as far as into the corners and stuff. But 90% of our shots were on frame, which is a huge accomplishment, you know, for us and stuff. And so I'm very optimistic at that. We made some changes this last week with practice. You know, having that many days to prepare for opponent, you know, you can kind of put some things into the works and see what you can do, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, but, I mean, confidence. Confidence breeds confidence, and excitement breeds excitement. So we're excited.
Obviously, Coach, it's a team effort. When you shut out two opponents back-to-back games in the state tournament, it is a team effort. But you guys have just gotten some tremendous performances from Colton Curtis now, goalie, two straight shutouts in the state tournament.
Absolutely. Colton's actually put his game face on and is playing really well. He's done a good job for us and stuff in there. You know, obviously being an underclassman, being a sophomore, and our defensive back four have made some huge adjustments. We made some adjustments there, and the communication's a little bit better. Again, some of them guys are young back there. You know, we got a couple of sophomores and freshmen. And they're actually, I mean, our defense, I've always prided Emory High Soccer on our defensive ability. You know, we might lose a game 1 or 2-0, but our defense has always helped, you know, solidify who we are. And they're showing that right now, which I'm very, very proud of.
Coach, what do you contribute the increase in stellar play to? I mean, at the end of the regular season, I felt that you guys were probably playing your best soccer of the season. You guys did secure a couple of wins, but I don't think anyone outside of the Emory High School soccer team could have predicted a run like this to get you to the semifinals. As I mentioned to you off of the cup, you're two wins away from a state championship. What do you contribute the increase of level of play?
You know, one of the adjustments we've made, or one of the big adjustments we made as a coaching staff, was to put some key roles on some important players, basically, and we've actually just asked them to step up. We've asked some younger guys to step up and fill some voids that, you know, that we've had as far as soccer playing ability. I tell my boys regularly that we have some of the best athletes in the state on this soccer team. Some of them are not soccer players, having that been said. But we were relying on some of them underclassmen to kind of step up in our rotation. And I think between that underclassmen stepping up and our rotation and guys understanding their roles, whether it's, you know, 3 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, or 20 minutes, that they're asked to go in there and play, they're giving a full 110% effort. And so, I mean, you know, just their desire to win. They don't want the season to be over as well, too. So a couple different things there as far as that goes.
Was the win against Richfield, Coach, in your mind, was it more dominating than a 1-0 win?
I unfortunately do feel that, absolutely. We controlled the ball really well. We moved really well. We done some really good things with the wind and against the wind. We just unfortunately could not find the back of the net, you know, which has kind of been a little bit of a storyline with us, you know, most of the year. We have offensive opportunities, and we can't capitalize on them, you know, like I think we should. You know, so I feel that, you know, as far as in a whole, you know, our team played very, very well. I'm not taking anything away from Richfield at all or anything like that, but I really feel like we really showed up to play, and we played hard. And obviously, you know, we played mistake free, and that's what I tell the boys. If we play mistake free and do our job, then the outcome will take care of itself.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School soccer team. Emory now shifting their attention to Monday, a contest against the Morgan Trojans, 3:30 p.m. start time at Juan Diego High School. A win there, and Emory will go to Rio Tinto Stadium to play in the state championship game. Coach, it's really that close, and it's been a long time since we've been able to say this. I believe, I don't think it's ever happened, has it, that a team has been this close at Emory High School to advancing to the state championship?
We haven't. Unfortunately, this is the goal that we had, was to get past the first round, and here we are, and it's going well. You know, they're playing really, really good, and you know, things are looking good, and it hasn't. You know, and this team's a unique team, and they've all stepped up, so it's pretty exciting.
You play such a large quantity of games in such a short period of time, and they're legitimately, there's only four teams that can say they're two wins away from a state championship. What does that mean to you as a head coach?
It's one of the things you couldn't be prouder of. You know, so full of emotion, and having all that hard work pay off. You know, there's a lot of boys here that have been playing all season long. There's a lot of boys that have been playing for the last 6 months, and there's boys that have been playing for the last 3 months. And to have that effort pay off and all the hard work, you know that it's not for naught, that, you know, we're still playing, we're still going, we're still working hard. And it, just the level of excitement, the level of commitment these boys have had is super exciting to me.
Coach, let's talk about Monday's game. The Morgan Trojans, number one team of the state. You guys have seen this team once already. But let's be honest. You guys are a completely different team than the first time that you saw Morgan early on in the season. What stands out to you about this team, and why are they the number one team of the state?
Morgan is I think, as far as a complete team, is very complete. They have offense, defense, and a goalie that's really good. Their attacking is good, but probably the most fundamental important thing is they can control the ball very well. So they run triangles. They pass and trap the ball very well. They're very methodical how they move the ball up and down the field, and that's something we're going to have to be prepared for. They're a complete team. I'm about 90% sure. I don't know this for a fact, but I dare bet on that every one of their players play club soccer, you know, throughout the off season, and it shows in the way that they play soccer. You know, when we met them the first time, they're a very good soccer team, and we got our work cut out for us, and it's a game that obviously we can go in and win. I have the utmost respect for them, but I think our boys, you know, given the right opportunity, go in there and we can get the job done.
Yeah, Coach, in talking to you over the last two rounds, the idea was to control tempo against Grand, control tempo against Richfield, really rely on your defense. Can you take that same approach against Morgan?
I think so. You know, we'll just have to be smart with the tempo of the game, you know, and take them opportunities as they come to us as far as offensive opportunities. I really, as far as, you know, keeping control of the middle of the field, you know, with our defense right now, we'll see how that goes. But I have confidence in them that they can do that. And again, I think it's controlling the tempo and not getting too excited. This is going to be the hard thing. You know, I noticed in yesterday's game, the first few minutes, nerves were up. You know, we had some butterflies. I mean, me including as a coach, man, I had some huge butterflies. And it took us a few minutes to kind of settle in. And once that happened, then we played really, really good soccer. And I think the same will be, you know, you talk semifinals. This is a new atmosphere for most of these boys. And so we have to go in. It's just another game. We go in and we just do, you know, just execute our game plan and control what we can control and do what we do good and do it to the best of our ability.
Obviously, you have a couple of days, Coach, to prepare for this game. So what does the weekend look like? I'm sure you guys practice today, practice tomorrow, but what do you do with these boys on Saturday and Sunday knowing that you play on Monday?
That's a good question. As of right now, I don't know exactly. We're going to practice today and tomorrow. We're going to get together Saturday. I don't know exactly. We'll just do a little bit of walkthrough, and then obviously just give them Sunday to prepare. And do their things, kind of get away from it a little bit, and then they'd be rejuvenated for Monday. We'll get together early Monday, being at Juan Diego, kind of go up there and get familiar with the field, and then just be ready to practice, be ready to go, be ready to go play the game and execute our game plan.
Coach, lastly, before I let you go, the other two teams, Delta, Judge Memorial, any surprises to you when you take a look at the Final Four?
No, absolutely not. I think Delta has proven they're a legit team this year and has played very, very well. Judge is always obviously there. They, you know, they have each year, you know, have a substantial number of returning athletes as well too, and you know, and their program is obviously, you know, very, very good. So, you know, I think, you know, if I call an underdog or a dark horse in the race, it's obviously going to be the Emory Spartans, and you know, and we're catching some people by surprise and, you know, making them think twice about us now.
Yeah, how fun is that? That's got to be a blast.
It's so awesome. I would never say that Moab or Richfield looked past us, but we surprised some people, and that's really good. And you know, and I mean, and it's a lot of fun. And our community, the thing that I wanted to, you know, give a shout out to is our community is so supportive. Both Carbon and Emory County community has been so supportive of our advancement into this. You know, the soccer community, you know, we compete together or compete against each other, you know, through the high school ranks as far as Carbon and Emory County. But for our club season, we actually compete together. And they've been very, very supportive of, you know, the advancement that we've had and being there supporting our boys and stuff and supporting our program. So, I mean, it's an awesome thing. And being the dark horse is definitely fun. It's definitely.
Get at least one more win, Coach. Let's get to the state championship later on next week. It's been fun to follow your guys' journey. Congratulations on the win against Richfield, and we'll talk again soon, Coach.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Jordan. Love it, and thank you very much.
That's Coach Troy Winter again of the Emory High School soccer team. Emory returning to the field on Monday to take on Morgan, one win away from the state championship contest. Let's take a quick commercial break. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll talk NBA basketball. Utah falling short last night against Portland. What does that mean for the Western Conference playoff race? That's coming up next when we return.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it. And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years.
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're going to talk NBA basketball last night right here on KOAL. Utah Jazz suffered a loss. It's not something to get worried about if you're a Jazz fan. No Mike Conley, no Donovan Mitchell. We know how important both of those two will be come playoff time. The Jazz have yet to clinch the number one seed, but I think that's coming relatively soon. Only two games remain on the slate for the Jazz. We'll talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Tom Perkins, who is joining us over the phone. Tom, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Great to be here with you, Jordan. You're the best that there is.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. Again, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com and also an independent NBA scout. Tom, last night the Utah Jazz suffer a loss to the Portland Trail Blazers. They've dropped two straight. Aside from the game itself, are you noticing anything from Utah without Donovan Mitchell on the court that is alarming to you?
Well, obviously without Mitchell on the court, and then, of course, Conley being in and out, It's tough to get the continuity going. I mean, everybody else is playing pretty well on the Jazz, and once they get those guys back, they'll be back to form. But yeah, it's a different situation when Mitchell's out of there because he's such a threat all over the court. I mean, when he steps into the building, he's a threat. So yeah, they're going to have to overcome that. Hopefully that injury is not as bad as it seems.
Yeah, when we look at the injuries and the amount of games that have been missed, Tom, is there really a process for these players to come back and get situated, get acquainted once again with the team? Because it seemed that when Anthony Davis was gone for a couple of months, it took him three or four games to finally look like the Anthony Davis of old. Is that something to worry about?
Well, yeah, because, again, there's a certain style that teams play depending who's on the court. And if Mitchell's not on the court, that's a different style that they play with whoever is on the court taking his place. Same thing with the Conley. So, they have to get into a rhythm of back into the style of what they were used to winning with.
Donovan Mitchell will miss the remainder of the regular season. That was reported yesterday. I would expect him back early on in the postseason. The Jazz with two games left at OKC, at Sacramento. It's pretty simple. Win one of those games and you are the number one seed. But Tom, if we take this a step further and we look at who was on the floor, who's been playing for the Jazz, I want to talk about Rudy Gobert. Last night, he was good yet again. He was very good. I believe he had 20 rebounds, if memory serves me right. When you look at the metrics, he is having one of the best defensive seasons ever for a player. Not a post, for any sort of player. The metrics back that up. Do you buy into those metrics, or are there too many variables for us to say, yeah, this is one of the best defensive seasons we've ever seen?
No, I would say it's one of the better defensive seasons we've seen, because this guy's been a real stalwart on that Jazz team, and he's come to play every game, and he's played through some nagging injuries, and he is a load to carry. I'm telling you, again, when you think back into the All-Star game, he was so much bigger and stronger than anybody on the floor. So, yeah, he's having one of the best defensive seasons in recent memory, for sure.
You know how you know he's having a good season? When you look at the individual players, like last night, guys like Damian Lillard, Carmelo Anthony, they love trying to take Rudy Gobert off of the dribble. Did you notice that last night?
Yes, I did. I saw that. Well, that's how they can. That's the only chance they have to win, is to go ahead and pick and roll those guys to death. And the bottom line is, when a guy like Lillard or C.J. McCollum is hitting those kind of shots with that kind of frequency, it doesn't matter whether someone can play the pick and roll, because that puts everything off the board. Those kind of shots. So, you know, it wasn't a fluke, but again, with everybody in that they can, you know, that they have to utilize for each game, it's a different story. But, yeah, those guys hitting those kind of shots from that distance makes a difference.
With that win, Portland remains in control of the number 6 seed, or at this point even the number 5 seed, as they have jumped the Dallas Mavericks as we speak. But both teams sitting at 41-29. Both teams one game better than the Los Angeles Lakers. Once we get past the top 6, the Lakers and the Warriors are in the play-in round, along with Memphis and more than likely San Antonio. Tom, I put Portland and Golden State in the same category, because both Lillard and Curry can go off at any point in time. I believe that Lillard has more help than Steph Curry does offensively, but who would you be more afraid to play in the postseason?
Well, I definitely would be more afraid to play Golden State, because when Curry is on, he does get some help from some of the players that are on the periphery. So, yeah, I would say that Golden State scares me a bit more than Portland does. Curry's having a MVP type season, and when he's playing like he's playing, and some of the guys just kind of step up, they're gonna give some headaches to people. Andrew Wiggins is coming around playing both ends of the court. Kelly Oubre, these guys are just, when they're stepping up, and Draymond Green is still, the same kind of guy that he is, very consistent with his stats. So, yeah, I'd probably be more afraid of Golden State.
Again, our guest right now, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, I want to talk about Russell Westbrook for a moment. So we got to flip and move over to the Eastern Conference. He is now the triple-double king. That's impressive, considering he's jumped Magic and Oscar Robertson, but we're looking at basically 3 seasons where this guy has averaged a triple-double. When we see something like this go down, I always tell people, stop and just watch for a moment, because it is history. 15, 20 years from now, I don't believe this triple-double record is going to be broken anytime soon, and we're going to look back and say, I remember watching that. It's an important part of NBA history. In comparison to where Oscar was and Magic, is Russell Westbrook's record as fruitful?
Well, yes and no. I mean, when Oscar was playing, they let those guys beat each other up defensively. That's not the same game that Russell Westbrook is playing. But at the same time, you have to give credence to Westbrook, because he is way athletic, and he's so explosive that you he can't be denied what he's accomplished. But the problem I have with it all is, then they start talking about best point guard of all time. I mean, he might be number five, probably more like number six, but he's not in the top three, that's for sure.
I don't know if I could put him in my top ten, Tom.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. But because, you know, he is definitely a qualifying poor shooter. You know, and as far as the winnability, every place he's played, he hasn't really won. So, I mean, either has Steve Nash, who I would put ahead of him as far as a top point guard. But, you can't take a record like that and make it be something bigger than it is. It's something to appreciate. It's something to go ahead and honor him by. But you can't make it bigger than just the fact that he set that record.
Well, you scout these guys. And so let me ask you, from an NBA scout perspective, is Russell Westbrook a stat chaser? Is that how you guys view him?
Well, he has been at times, because there's been many seasons during this run that he's had nothing to play for except the stats. So he plays for the stats. But if he could ever get a hint of doing something about winning, I think he would give those stats up. Just like, for example, James Harden. He's given up some of his stats in order to win. So, yeah, I don't think he's a classic stat chaser, but he has been from time to time in those seasons that were lost early.
When I mentioned stat chaser, is there a particular player that comes to mind? Doesn't have to be right now. Could be of all time. I mean, some guys that you have scouted along the way. Just, I guess, for some context here, does a stat chaser pop into your mind?
Well, you know, you hate to put that label on anybody because, you know, they want to go ahead and see themselves as a two-way player, you know, with the defense and the offense. But, something could be said about George Gervin. You know, he might have been a stat chaser for sure. My buddy who I used to run his basketball camp, Pete Maravich, might have been a stat chaser. But, again, these guys are all very talented in chasing those stats. So I can't really think of a player you could say, yeah, this guy was a stat chaser or that guy was a stat chaser. I think there's times that different players do chase stats within the season.
Again, our guest right now, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, let's step over back to the playoff situation as we get down to the final two or three games of the regular season. Between now and the end, what is the most interesting storyline? What's the most interesting aspect of the NBA season for you?
Well, I mean, there's several stories that have kind of faded. I mean, the Utah Jazz with, you know, not playing with Mitchell or not having Conley all the time, that was a fantastic story that I like to follow. Then you think about 76ers. They have these monster games when Embiid is a monster, and when they can get a little offense from Simmons. But so far, the thing that probably intrigues me the most are the Knicks. Because they're not supposed to be even in the playoff picture at all. Not that they're going to do anything, but that's a pretty intriguing thing that Tom Thibodeau has gotten them from the junk heap all the way into being in the playoffs. That's pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, not to get sidetracked on your point, but you have to give the Lakers a lot of credit because they have beaten some teams out of sheer pride without the talent. In other words, they beat the Knicks in overtime. The Knicks were ready to go ahead and thump them, but good, but didn't happen. And then, of course, they beat Phoenix and they beat Denver recently. So, but anyway, there's story. You know, the Suns could be a story. Obviously, Golden State is a story with Curry probably having the best individual season of anybody in the league right now. Those are some interesting stories.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Tom, most dangerous team in the NBA right now would be who?
I would probably say, because of rest and because they're not injured, probably the Clippers.
I don't disagree. I mean, if you'd asked me that 2 months ago, I'd have said no way. But I've seen the way the Clippers have come together over the last couple of weeks, and that would probably be one of the teams. I think you could put either L.A. team in there, but right now I have a little bit more faith in the Clippers, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
Right. And then I guess right alongside of them would be the Nets, because when all three guys are playing, you see, when you have three guys like KD and Irving and Harden, they all three don't have to have great games. Just two of those guys have to have good games. And so last night I proved it. You know, they didn't have Irving because Irving had an injury to his face. But Harden just came right and picked it right up. And as a matter of fact, KD didn't have such a good game. So the bottom line is the Clippers and the Nets seem to be the most intriguing teams that could possibly take it all.
Tom Perkins again of HoopCityNews.com joining us to talk NBA basketball. Tom, before I let you go, please let us know where we can find more of your work.
Well, obviously, HoopCityNews.com, my pride and joy website, is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's been even made even more popular with the podcast that I deliver from this show that Jordan has. And people really like the show. They like it's a hard-hitting show, and it's to the point. And, of course, the articles I write about individual players or teams, people like that. And in the near term here, I'm going to be writing about the Hall of Fame. You know, it's going to be Kobe's Hall of Fame, and that's going to be very special. It's so sad when you think about Kobe. He's not with us anymore. I mean, there's so much he could have done for not just basketball, but life. But anyway, he'll be honored during the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to be really enjoying that part. And so we'll look for articles about that, and then, of course, look for articles about who's going to be drafted.
Tom, always a pleasure to get you on. We'll look forward to doing it again next week. Thank you.
Fantastic. I'll look forward to it, too. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Let's take one more commercial break. We'll come back, wrap up this edition of Drive Time Sports with some NFL talk right after this.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
So next week, we'll spend a whole segment talking about the NFL schedules, but that was the big story last night, released. We now know everyone's schedule. 17-game season, 18-week NFL schedule. Travis, when you look at the way things are set up, is there a specific game in mind that you're most excited for? Doesn't even have to be week one.
No, I'm looking forward to week four when Tom Brady goes back and plays New England.
What kind of reaction, what kind of reception does he get at?
He should get a standing ovation because he pretty right. much is the greatest Patriot to ever play and the greatest football player to ever play. So, standing O.
Yeah, and he will get that, by the way. Boston fans, they're unique to say the least, but they're not going to boo Tom Brady. Looking at some of the schedules, I'll tell you, there was a couple of teams that I thought kind of got a raw deal. How about the Raiders, their opening slate? They get the Ravens.
Tough.
They get the Steelers.
That's even more tough.
They get the Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Chargers. The Bears. Would you be surprised if the Raiders started 1-4?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't think the Raiders are going to be a very good football team next year.
So the back half of their schedule, they get two games against the Chiefs and a week 14 through 18 stretch where they have to play the Chiefs, the Browns, the Broncos, the Colts, and the Chargers. I thought the Raiders' schedule was absolutely insanely tough. Now, they're all professional football teams. I understand that. But when I look at the Raiders' schedule, that's difficult.
Yeah, I like to look at things, you know, when you're looking at a schedule, who the team is playing, you know, the week before and that sort of thing. So you can kind of dive into that. And yeah, for the Raiders, it's going to be a tough schedule, tough season with that schedule.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. There's no doubt, especially that week 14 through 18. If the Raiders are in a playoff push, one thing that the Raider fans have all accepted is that downward spiral once you get to the back half of the season. Well, it's set up for the same thing to happen again, weeks 14 through 18. One team that I thought got a kind schedule, the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure, we knew that would happen.
Yeah, well, look, reigning champs opening night, okay, I get that. But after that, they get eight straight teams who missed the playoffs in 2020.
Yeah, there's no excuses for Dallas this year. I mean, with that schedule and the talent they have, there are no excuses for the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, there's three teams during that stretch that I think will be better. The Chargers are going to be much better. The Panthers and the Patriots, I think, are all better. But still, I thought that was an easy schedule for the Cowboys. They have a stretch where they get eight straight teams who didn't make the postseason. I thought Kansas City had a fairly easy slate as well. Starts out tough. They get the Browns, the Ravens, the Chargers, and the Bills. That's four of their first five opponents. But then when you look at what they get towards the end, they get the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Broncos. It's set up for cruise control, I think, for the Chiefs in the back half of the season. And like I said, I understand you have to play every team. I get it. They're all professional squads.
Yeah, the opponents we already know years in advance.
We know
just,
this,
it's
right.
Just the order that you're going to play those teams.
How about this for the Steelers? I thought they got a raw deal, too. They get a Week 7 bye, which means they have 11 straight games to finish the season.
I hate early buys for teams.
Yeah, I don't like it, especially in an 18-week schedule. Week 11, they go against the Chargers, then the Bengals, Ravens, Vikings, Titans, Chiefs, Browns, Ravens. You want to talk about trying to get into the postseason, that's your final stretch. I didn't think the schedule makers were kind of the Steelers.
They're not coming out of that gauntlet to make a playoff.
Probably not, no, let's be honest, probably not. That's going to do it for us here on Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Coach Winter for taking out the time to join us. Congratulations to the Emory High School soccer team. Stay tuned to CastleCountryRadio.com. We'll continue to bring you the softball and baseball scores as they become available. On the show tomorrow, we're going to be joined by USU Eastern Women's Assistant Coach Morgan Warburton-Nelson. There's some youth basketball camps coming up. Golden opportunity for kids in the Castle Country to have something to do this summer, get some top-notch coaching. We'll talk to Coach Warburton about that. We'll also be joined by baseball historian Galen White, one of my favorite authors in the game today. Love listening to Galen just talk baseball. He's got a new book out. We're going to talk about that as well. That'll be here on Drive Time Sports tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.